Okay, everyone, welcome to, I guess you could say, episode 5 of Religious Taters. I am your host, Michael, and during this episode, as promised, I will be talking about The Matrix, but in a much different way than probably most of you planned on. I'm going to be doing an audio commentary on all three films, well, at least the first one to start it off, just play-by-play, scene-by-scene. The movie's going to be playing, and I'm going to be discussing it right as we go along. I think it's going to be really, really cool. So, I'm going to just pause this for a second and get the movie start. Alright, so here we go. Matrix 1. Ah, that's a little loud. But I want you guys to be able to hear it, so I'll sacrifice my hearing for you listeners. So yeah, you may have noticed the kind of cool intro. I like that. Actually, an interesting fact is that each film, as it goes along, Matrix, them Reloaded, them Revolutions, the very first note, it gets higher each time. Shows how more intense it gets on way so many different levels. And that code, and you know it's going to be different than anything else, and that brings up what you wonder what it is. I think it's really cool, the green on the black, like old computers. They're running a trace to find out who the one is, who they're trying to look for. I think it's really cool, all these numbers and stuff on this. You know, there are so many different things that go along with this movie. Religious symbolism was the very first obvious things. Numbers, mathematics, computers, comic books, music, everything. Just as I mentioned a few moments ago, music plays far more into this than people realize. Like the soundtrack, even a lot of planning went into that, and I think it's cool. And I'll be discussing the significance of music in something that I'd read somewhere that I think is pretty cool later on. So here we have, it appears, three cops going into the room 303. And who do we find in there? Trinity. That cannot be a coincidence. Yeah, in computer language, the zero is merely a placeholder. So if you take out the zero out of 303, that's 33, which I'll be discussing the significance of that later, but you'll have more to look forward to in towards the end of the movie, so a few episodes down the road. First introduction of Agent Smith, and of course there's two other agents with him, so a total of three agents seeking Trinity once again. The number three plays a highly significant in this film. Three films, the three main characters of Neo, Trinity, and Morpheus, they're a band of three together. The three realms are the Matrix, representing the mind, the, okay, I have to pause for a second. This is what sucked me into this. Oh my gosh. The Trinity kick. That's been parodied, then, I don't know, within the last like 10 years, more than any other film probably. This just sucked me in the first time I saw it at my friend's house. I'm like, okay, I'm watching this. And then once I realized, I got later into it, about how it represented Jesus and stuff, I really just wanted to see this again, just to suck in how much other stuff there was in. So yeah, you'll notice that there's a slight tint in the Matrix here, and it's linear, you know, tons of lines and stuff. That's because the Matrix represents the mind. Zion there's a lot of blue and grayish in that, and Zion and the Neb, that represents the body, because, you know, they don't, on the ships and stuff, they don't fancy themselves up with nice clothes, they just, you know, whatever they can scrounge up, and they really don't care. And And then the Machine City, which we don't really see until the third film, they represent spirit, and the machines are made of light, Neo says in the third film. So, you know, in the first movie, why people loved it so much is just because it seems like a very old-school story with Matrix being bad, everyone else being good, and just back and forth, that constant struggle, but it's so, so much more complicated, and, you know, you get to the third film and you realize that, and then you see subtle hints of that even in this one, and they all just become so much more powerful, and you gotta love that, where you can see a film over and over again and pick up just small things, and I just love doing that with, that's what the greatest books, greatest movies, greatest stories always are, when you can just really suck it in. So yeah, this is cool. Get up, Trinity. I noticed that window there looks like a clock. That might be an accident, but you know, time is short. Time seems to be something that comes up. Time is always against us, I believe. That's in the third film, yeah. So here we have the truck coming at the telephones. The telephones seem to play a pretty large significance, so that's the thing that can get back and forth, and that you can't use cell phones. Well, you can, like, communicate, but you actually have to go through a landline to get back out of the Matrix. I think that's kind of cool. So here we have some agents again. And they know about Neo. Quite interesting. What to talk about? I could just talk about the, like, what's happening right then, which I would love to do, but, you know, I want to see this film again, but there's just so much that I have to discuss. I guess for now, if I am reminded of something, I'll discuss it, but just, you know, I was taking notes before this a little on and doing some research, watching the films and stuff, but you know, that got kind of boring and I've been kind of busy, so I figured this would be a much more. Notice that music's playing in the background and he's asleep, so music can keep you enslaved and not have you fully experience what's out there. So, deals with the mind somehow. Of course, he's waking up, seeing the message, so words can free your mind. It's something I just kind of now noticed, the power of words. It's cool. The Matrix has you. That was on all of the movie posters. That would get me. What is the Matrix? That's really what was on many of the posters. And just, that would suck me in, like, have something and then leave it undefined and then, well, what is it? I need to know. Knock, knock.
Who is it?
Jesus knocks at the door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's waiting, yeah. And Jesus is in there, so kind of 101, Neo's number. He is the one. If you rearrange Neo, then that is one. He is the messianic figure. So here we have this character named Choi, who's paying for something. We don't quite know what it is. Neo goes over to a book called Simulacra and Simulation by Jean Bouillard. It's basically the book that inspired the Matrix. The chapter says on nihilism, and which is the belief in, like, nothing really matters at all. So you'll notice.
I'm a personal Jesus Christ.
Yes. Great line. You're my savior, my own personal Jesus Christ. If you get caught using that, you don't exist, because he doesn't exist, you know. He's in the Matrix, so he's not really there. There's just so much that I could discuss. Dreaming, once again, Morpheus is the god of dreams and sleep, So, yeah. But back to that book. There's a disc in there, and there's actually a theory that some people had online that's actually music in there, because, you know, the matrix, or, yeah, the, like, machines might not want people to have music, because that can free your mind somehow, and another system of control, they don't want people out there, you know, listening to this music, and fortunately, some music, especially the techno and industrial, can be combined with, like, some, turning that down, once again, the power of music, though, can be combined with, like, some drugs and stuff, and, you know, people can get, like, a out-of-body experience or something, and the machines would definitely want to control that, but here at this party, music is very prominent, and it's when Neo begins to free his mind. I don't think a lot of people notice that. At least I didn't the first time. You first see Trinity. So what's about to come up is the rule of women, which he's Neo is just surprised that this woman would be a hacker, and he's surprised, yeah, that she is a woman, and the role of gender plays a very prominent role in this, and the role of race as well, but I'll get to that later. But he says the Trinity. So, like, basically, in some cultures, you know, that it's actually impossible for there just to be one messianic figure. Their messianic figure in other religions is a man and a woman, like, combined. So, there, and, like, by the time you get to the third film, you realize that Trinity and Neo are in this together. They're not separate. They are the one. Which, you know, it's kind of different from, you know, Christianity, but kind of, sort of not, because, you know, Neo, of course, represents Christ. Trinity, I guess, could represent the Holy Spirit trying to spread the message of Neo and, you know, kind of do his work. And then Morpheus is God the Father, you know, trying to prepare the way. He's also kind of like John the Baptist, which... more on that later, but, excuse me, the role of women, yeah, in the first film, I guess I could spoiler it, because you probably aren't listening to this unless you, haven't seen it already, or else you plan on not seeing it, but, yeah, the first movie, Trinity resurrects Neo with a kiss, second, Neo resurrects Trinity with a kiss, third movie, they both die together. You might have noticed earlier on the alarm clock, 9/18, that's the anniversary of Andy Wachowski, the director. Ah, I love these lines with the boss. I forget his name. They're amazing if you just listen to them. They're so much funny. They're so funny. Like, you believe that the you believe that the rules don't apply to you, that you're special. And the window washers, you know, that plays a funny part in the timing of that, being distracted. Do I make myself clear? Yes, Mr. Reinhardt, that's it. I knew right then. Odd timing, I know, but that's just how it happens. So I'm going to be going soon at the end of this chapter. It's already been 5 chapters. There's got to be a joke here about your fate being delivered by a FedEx truck, or not truck, but a FedEx guy. But yeah, this has been interesting, these first 5 chapters. So you get this call from Morpheus. Once again, phones play a very prominent role in this. Wake up. Listen to the message. He's ignorant in a dream. Morpheus. Looking through the looking glass. Alice in Wonderland, follow the white rabbit. How far the rabbit hole goes. It's a prominent thing, Alice in Wonderland by Lewis Carroll. Excellent children's novel. And they just, the director thinks it's genius. And I would somewhat have to agree, actually. It's very, very magnificent for a children's novel. So many subtle symbols and stuff that's very intelligent. Sorry about the language in this movie. It's not really my fault, but the language can sometimes be a symbol, which I might be able to discuss later, hopefully. I don't really like it, but like when they use some religious words like God and Jesus, they use that sometimes to, you know, show that Neo is the one to maybe a different audience that wouldn't really know how to respond to something else, because people who say that words probably don't know a lot about the Bible usually, but they're like, oh, he might be, you know, a messianic figure. They probably wouldn't know that word, but something of the sort. Someone to save from, you know, the bonds that hold you from the evil of the world. Screensaver's going again. Okay, yeah, I remember them showing this scene, what it would look like, and one of the DVD extras, the directors, it's nice having two of them, one of them to act out, and then one of them be the camera person. The camera angles play a huge, vital role in this, and they do a lot of planning just on the camera angles, and I think that's just magnificent that they get the most dramatic angle for it. Binary. The scaffold, or in their custody. Zero or one. That comes up again and again, and Neo must break out of those bounds and not be limited to just two choices. Three, the third choice once again. Three just plays a huge vital role that even I'm realizing this as I'm speaking is so cool. I love doing this, just expressing my own views and getting them out there. It's really cool. So, once again, he's bound still by his ignorance and him not believing that he can do these things, that he actually can. He can break away and experience something more and do other stuff that he doesn't realize, but he just feels limited by this. So, yeah, that's the end of that chapter. The first five chapters of The Matrix. So, I'm gonna hopefully finish all these up by, and you know, about 2 weeks or so that I can let my Bible teacher listen to all of these, or, well, watch all of these. He might listen to them, I doubt it, but, so yeah, hope you enjoyed this episode, and that you'll continue to listen to this, and hopefully I'll be able to just do some normal talking stuff, but I just figured I would put this out and let people know that I have no. Okay, everyone, this next part will be a series of apologies. I want to apologize for having that be cut off at the end. Apologize for my voice being a little weird, because I've been, you know, down with the sickness for over the last few weeks, and not just that well. I've been stumbling over my words here and there, and it's been like at least a week probably since I recorded this, and I've just been editing it. Well, I thought I would be editing it, but I was just, you know, I forgot about it, kind of, and went here and there, but, let's see here. I had another thing I believe I was going to apologize for. Yes, I wanted to have this, you know, there be, like, nothing in between, really, but I guess that's not going to happen, like, in between episodes, and hopefully really soon I can record the next episode and put it out, and, I guess this could be the disclaimer at the end. The views expressed herein are not the views of Warner Brothers or the Wachowski Brothers directors. They are my own views, and, so yeah, that's a disclaimer, and thank you for listening to this. Hopefully I can get more listeners through this, and God bless.